Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
By now, everyone knows that Dollar Shave Club ships amazing razors for a few bucks. I've been a member for a while. I love my shave. What you might not know, I didn't, is that Dollar Shave Club also has products for pretty much everything else you need in the bathroom. Body wash, shampoo, hair gel, lip balm, everything. As soon as I heard Dollar Shave Club had stuff other than razors, I was sold. At the store, there are too many options, and you can't tell the difference between any of them. Then, if you have any questions, the clerk usually doesn't know the difference either. They can't really help you. They're not experts on their products. Dollar Shave Club makes it easy and convenient for you to upgrade your shave and your bathroom. Now, you don't have to step foot in a store to get high-quality shave and grooming products. They will deliver them right to your door. And just like the razors, everything is super high quality. And it left me looking and feeling amazing. I love a compliment. I got sensitive skin. When I get a good shave, I feel good about it. And when somebody tells me they like my shave, I feel even better. So I come and tell you guys. From the premium ingredients to the sophisticated scents, Dollar Shave Club is changing the game. If you're like me and sick of the nonsense at the store, now's the time to try out Dollar Shave Club for a limited time. Dollar Shave Club is basically giving away their starter set to new members for only $5. The starter set, it features Executive Razor, three trial size versions of their most popular products that can help you stay fresh and clean. In your first box, you're going to get shave butter, you're going to get a one wipe, you're going to get some body wash. Listen, this offer is exclusively available at dollarshaveclub.com/chale. That's dollarshaveclub.com/chale. Now, let's start the show.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
Happy Friday, everybody! We got a big weekend tomorrow. Roy Nelson, Big Country, making his return to the ring. His debut in Bellator, his return to the ring, he's taking on Javi Ayala. And I always feel like the truth is on your side. And I don't see any reason to steer away from the fact that Ayala is here because nobody else would. Ayala was brought in a number of months ago. I was there live and I saw it and I can't remember. I'm going to say it was right around 6 months ago. Took on Sergey Tarnahov. And he was brought in to get beat up, okay? Now, I don't mean that the promoters and people were trying to stack the deck against him, but Sergey's a very intimidating guy. I would argue at one point in his career, he was the best striker in mixed martial arts. He's still an intimidating striker in mixed martial arts. I thought at one point in his career, he might be the very best, though. Not a lot of guys want to fight this sumbitch, and he's huge, okay? So, Ayala says, I'm in. I'll do it. And don't make a mistake, guys. This sport isn't just about the punches and the kicks. Courage matters. This guy's punches and kicks on paper and his wins and losses, it was solid, but there was plenty of guys that had solid records. This guy's courage sent him apart. That's meant as a compliment, and it should be taken as one. So he gets in there with Sergey. All hell breaks loose, and I mean fast. Way less than a minute. Way less than 30 seconds. This fight is over. Ayala won. Upset and beat Sergey at his own game. Okay, well, now you got Ayala sitting around. You lost Sergey's momentum. What do you do with him? Now, all of a sudden, Ayala's in the same spot that he previously found himself at, where people are going, hey, I don't want to fight this guy. This guy's more dangerous than we thought. This guy's a little more rambunctious, a little more spunk in him than his record shows. I don't know if I want to fight him. Well, there's one guy you can call. There's one guy you can call when that happens, and that's Roy Nelson, and that's who they called. So these guys are now in the same spot. Roy will fight anybody. Ayala will fight anybody. On paper, yeah, sure it favors Roy. But Ayala just knocked one out of the park, and if a guy can hit one grand slam, he can hit another. So now all of a sudden you got something more interesting. Let's start. That's the Ayala. Okay, that's the backstory on him. I don't just think there's anything wrong with calling it for what it is. This is a guy that was given a shot and made the most of it. I love that storyline. And people don't like to tell it because it sounds as though, well, he was brought in to get beat up. Yeah, he was brought in to get beat up. Everybody thought he would lose. What's wrong with that? I mean, what's wrong with when you're staring, you got a show to put on. It's not just a checkers. You got to be playing chess. You're looking two and three steps ahead. What's wrong with saying, yeah, I think this guy's going to get over on this guy. Make our plans for him. That's all that happened there. But Ayala had other plans. And so now he's got Roy Nelson. When I hear some analysis of Roy Nelson, if anybody was to sit down and watch five Roy Nelson fights, take 10 smart guys, they all watch the fights. They're all going to come away and say the same thing. Roy's a big dude. Roy can take a shot. Look out for his right hand. That's all he's looking to throw. If you go watch five of his fights and you come away with that opinion, that everybody's going to say it. But I know a little bit different Roy than some other people. When I was coming up through the circuits, so was Roy. We were at the same time. So, by example, we were in a promotion called Bodog together. And we went over to Russia together. We were over in Costa Rica. And the only reason I mention those places is if I was in Russia, if I was in Costa Rica, imagine all the other places I was. Imagine the cities and the towns and the states that we're traveling around trying to get our comeuppance in the sport. So I know a little bit different Roy. Now, I will concede to the fact that he's made a reputation of having a granite chin and testing other people's with his right hand. But Roy is actually an excellent wrestler. Here's a story that many of you won't know. Frank Mir, who is largely perceived to be the most dangerous submission artist in the history of the sport, not only because he catches so many submissions over high-quality guys, but he's so aggressive once he gets that law. He sent guys to the hospital, okay? There's the truth of that. So Frank Mir perceived as the most dangerous submission in the history of the sport. He and Roy wrestled in a submission competition. Submission only. Take all the strikes out of it. And you're thinking Roy doesn't know how to wrestle. He didn't know how to grapple. He's just a striker. Frank's this great grappling guy. Well, you're right on both accords, except that Roy beat him. Roy beat him. So the only point there is to say, man, Roy can grapple. Roy can hold position. You go ask Daniel Cormier how hard it is to take Roy Nelson down. You go ask Fabricio Werdum how hard it is to knock Roy Nelson down. Special talent. When he comes to the table, he brings something different. I don't love his marketing as much as some guys do. I don't love the crazy hair and the crazy beard, but there is something lovable about it, and this guy seems to relate. And when Roy fights, there's something there. Roy had better not be taking his eye off of Ayala. He had better not just be staring at his record. I trust that Roy's not. But he'd better not. Ayala's got a lot to prove. And he's got that certain fire and that certain spunk. And now he's got a newfound confidence. He knows if I can crack that ball out of the park one time, I can do it again. Makes for an interesting contest. Let's move on. You've got Pitbull. There's ever been a fighter ever to live up to his nickname, it's Pitbull. You take one look at this guy on the streets, you're crossing to the other side. When he gets in the cage, he's got bad intentions. You can see it in his eyes, and his fights are the same way. He is looking to damage you nonstop. Then you insert Benson Henderson, okay? I got a favorite fighter. My favorite fighter is Frankie Edgar. So as it comes to Benson Henderson, who beat Frankie not once but beat him twice, I'm left with two choices. I can resent him for it or I can respect him for it. I respect him. World champion, UFC, did some heavy lifting, goes into Bellator, fights absolutely anybody, makes it all the way to a title fight there. So now you're left in that division wondering, well, who are the next guys? Primus is sitting there with the title. He had a peculiar fight with Chandler, so I guess we can run that one back without giving too much thought. But if we don't, who's next? And once we do run that one back, who comes after that? And in this sport, for better or worse, a lot of times you end up in a debate like the one I'm having with you right now. And it's popular opinion that wins out. The power of the pin goes and somebody gets a title fight. That's one way to do it. It's done all the time. Or we can take two killers that are arguing for that spot and we can lock them in a cage together. And we can put it on Spike TV Saturday night at 9 o'clock free. And that's what's happening here. Really interesting match. Very interesting match. And Benson Henderson actually has something against him that a lot of people think are for him. Benson Henderson is one of these guys like George St. Pierre. The later that fight goes, the tougher he gets. He will fight as hard in the 25th minute as he will in the first minute. But this is only a 3-round atmosphere. So Benson, I would not call him a slow starter. I would just call him an incredible finisher. Won't call Benson Henderson a slow starter. Some do. I won't. I won't put my name on that. But for being an incredible finisher, he likes those fourth and fifth rounds that everybody else dreads. He doesn't get those. And Pitbull is a fast starter. Benson's going to need, this is just an interesting fight when you put it in the time frame. If you made these no rule contests back in the olden day, Benson Henderson's the champ any which way you want to do it, because the guy will never give up. And he doesn't seem to ever get tired. Pitbull's different. Pitbull's a regular human being. He will get tired, but he's going to bring a storm at you. Operate within those three rounds. Let's see what happens there. I think it's a really interesting fight. No one's getting held in any position. No one's taking some guy in and holding the other one. It's just not going to happen. We're going to see excitement. That much we know. Bring that same argument, and let's go take a look at Larkin, and let's take a look at Paul Daly. When Paul Daly fights, he's a finisher. People lie, numbers don't lie. You go look at the numbers. If you can get to a decision with Paul Daly, your probability picks up. Those are the numbers. No debate on that. The problem is making it first the first 3 or 4 minutes with him isn't very common. He's another guy. He's bringing a tornado. And then he looks around and there's usually no trees left standing. They raise his hand and he walks out. Usually. When he takes on Larkin, Larkin isn't a guy that falls down very often, and when he does, he recovers instantly. He never stays down. The other side, I will concede he's probably never been hit as hard as he's going to get hit by Paul Daly. But I do also have to look at the fact that when Larkin does stumble, he recovers as well as anyone I can think of. Conditioning does matter. It matters in every Paul Daly fight. He's a Mike Tyson. He's coming out. Nobody's left standing. A decision is nowhere in his plan. Nowhere in his plan of top five things he needs to do to win this fight is he thinking about a decision. He's one of those guys. Very scary. Larkin, on the other hand, is coming off a 25-minute world title fight. So to step into a 15-minute atmosphere, he's very comfortable. I can tell, without even talking to him, I can just tell you he's very comfortable in that. This is a step down for him. In length and duration. He didn't have any problems conditioning-wise in 25 minutes, so he's not going to have any problems in 15. I think we can make that assumption. Can he deal with the veracity of Paul Daly? That's the question. I don't have an answer for it. That's going to come tomorrow. 9 o'clock Eastern, Spike TV. You can tell a guy who's got style. He always looks great. He seems confident, like he's ready for anything. Well, that takes a certain skill set that not all of us were born with. But now there's an easy way to look great. I'm going to tell you about it now. It's called Stitch Fix Men. Stitch Fix is the new way to shop for clothes, and it's unbelievably simple. Just go to stitchfix.com. Answer a couple of questions. Tell them what your size is, what styles you like, how much you want to spend. Stitch Fix has clothes for every guy and his style, and it's not just one type of look. You will get a personal stylist that uses your preferences and other information you enter to select brand new clothes just for you. The items are delivered right to your home. You try them on. You only pay for what you keep. Send anything back you don't like. Shipping is free both ways. Get your fix on demand or sign up to receive scheduled shipments. Guys of all shapes, sizes, and budgets agree. Defining your new style starts with Stitch Fix. Try them out today. You've got nothing to lose. Get started right now. Go to stitchfix.com/chael. You will get 25% off when you keep all five items in your box. That's stitchfix.com/chael to get started today. stitchfix.com/chael.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner, or go to podcastone.com/my survey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/my survey, or click on the survey banner on podcastone.com.
You're welcome.
You're welcome
with Chael Sonnen.
So guys, if I seem a little out of my aura today, I think I get a pass. It's 5 a.m. I am in Helsinki, Finland, out here for Abu Dhabi, and things are getting underway in just a matter of hours. I have a weigh-in, but I don't have to make weight. I am weighing about 217, 217.6, somewhere right in there. But it's an open weight match, but I still have to go weigh in. There's no wrong answer the scale is going to have, but I have to do it. And I'm having some fun out here. It's my first time in Helsinki. I'm out here with my Uncle Rudy. And my coach didn't make it out. Fabiano had a visa issue, and he missed the deadline by like 96 hours or something. But at any rate, I'm out here with my uncle. We're having a good time, getting to see the place. Never been here before. Weather's not a whole lot different than what it was like where I left in the beautiful northwest of Portland, Oregon. Skies are a little bit gray, and there's a little bit of rain coming down. I like this tournament. I'm excited as a fan to get over and watch. I don't know that I have a prediction except for heavyweight. Heavyweight, I feel like, is Vinny's. If somebody can come in here and beat Vinny, that's going to surprise me. And he won the tournament before. He does better with bigger guys. He was going to enter at 218 pounds, which means a maximum of 218. Instead, he entered at heavyweight. I like that. I think he could win it at either weight class. I just personally like him more at heavyweight. I think he flows a little bit better. That's my own opinion. That's the only one I can really predict. Jake Shields entered the thing, but he's entered at 218 pounds. He's not even close to the size. But if you just wanted to talk move for move and skill for skill, he's the bright, shining star. But he could get held down in some position. I don't know. I'm not quite ready to pick that yet. He's the best guy, but he's way under the weight class. Then you look down some weights. I like Gordon. Gordon Ryan's going to have some big challenges, though, but I like Gordon. Gary Tonin's in there. He's definitely the best guy. Definitely the best guy. But you've got some rule systems. If it was just wide open, submission only, I wouldn't have any problem picking him. In this, he's going to have to go out and work. He's going to have to burn some calories here. He's going to have to be cognizant of this rule set. He's the master of EBI. Abu Dhabi's got a little bit different rules. I think he'll be okay, but I'm not ready to pick him. The only one I'm ready to pick is Vinny. Quite sure he's going to win the heavyweight class. Old Chael has not moved. Still a 5.5-1 underdog. 5.5-1 underdog against a gentleman who I outweigh by 47 pounds. Or 47.6 pounds. I'm stopping the story right there with me. When I'm looking for a little confidence to walk out onto this mat, I'm stopping it right there. I'm sure the guy's had a great career. I'm sure he's had a lot of fun and won some matches. I'm not even getting into it at all. He's outweighed by 46 pounds. 46 pounds. Skilled jiu-jitsu guy. Wouldn't question it. Many-time gold medalist, can't change that. He got a 47-pound disadvantage against a gangster. So I still got 2 hours to go before breakfast. I thought I would get up and get this show done. Breakfast starts here at 7 a.m. So we're all in the same hotel. We go to the third floor, and they serve a big breakfast, and it's like buffet style. And you just go in, sit down, and on your way out, you tell them your room number, and you're done. Well, okay. One of the best parts about traveling, though, is the food. And you don't always like what the answer is. You don't always like what you're going to eat. And I'm not ready to weigh whether I'm satisfied or unsatisfied, but it's different. And that's one of the perks of it. So here, like by example, let me go through what they put out for breakfast every day. Cabbage rolls. There is a pea soup. Soup for breakfast. Little bit. We don't really do that in America. Doesn't mean it didn't taste good. Then there's like this dessert pancake, and I'm calling it a dessert pancake because they put everything in the world on this thing. It's not just a cake where you put your butter and your maple syrup. It always comes with a fruit topping. One day I had strawberry, one day I had blueberry, and then they soak the thing. It's nice and greasy, tastes delicious, and then they put powdered sugar over the whole top of it. So I'm calling it a dessert pancake, and that always comes with a yogurt, and you'll like I like this. Want to know what they had for breakfast here every morning? Mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes in America are generally a dinner meal. They do them for breakfast. So you get a soup, you get some mashed potatoes, cabbage roll, and some yogurt. And I looked around for some eggs and bacon. I'm telling you, I struck out. I was looking around for some dry cereal with some milk. I struck out. So cabbage rolls and pea soup it is. All right, let's get back to the match. So Here's how this whole thing started for me. And I don't have this huge grappling background. Now, I wrestled my whole life, which is a grappling. But I mean, I just remember this pure grappling. I get a little cut off guard by it. I get a little bit annoyed by it. I try to be respectful about it. But in some levels, it annoys me. You walk around, you got these different groups of these alleged tough guys. And I'm looking at going, guys, not for nothing, but come on, man. Really? Grappling? Pure jiu-jitsu? Really? I don't know a whole lot about that. I could tell you, I grew up in America, so maybe it's different in other places. But we don't have a junior high in all the lands that's got a jiu-jitsu team. We don't have a high school in all the lands. There's not one college from Division I, Division II, Division III, NAIA, JUCO, any which way you want to do it, you can get a scholarship in that. I'm a big Olympic guy. I watch the games every year. I've never seen a jiu-jitsu stadium. So, I mean, I guess you guys get together and brand somebody a tough guy. But once you figure that out, then call me. And that seems to be the situation that I'm in. This guy's won this tournament 3 times. I guess that's impressive. Man, I'm not trying to knock a guy for his accolade. I just don't get it. And jiu-jitsu is a very violent art. It's known as the gentle way. As the gentle art. And it is very smooth, and guys are rolling and they're looking for positions. But the finishing holds are very devastating. I come from a wrestling background. Wrestling's a very, very rough sport. You're banging, you're pushing, you're pulling, you're grinding on guys, and it's intense and got all these different things. But we don't have any devastating holds. If you got to any position that could even be on the fringe of devastating, that referee's absolutely instructed to step in and break it instantly. Anything that could cut off a guy's oxygen, hyperextend this, twist that, you step in and break. So I understand that jiu-jitsu can be a really dangerous thing. There's a guy, Mark Schultz. He was my coach in college, first college coach I had, and somebody that I greatly respected. And I had Hicks and Gracie on a week ago. Hicks and Gracie was telling us a story about the time he fought Mark Schultz. And Schultz, who was the Olympic champion, so a guy that had already achieved what I wanted to achieve, told me nothing beats wrestling except jiu-jitsu. And whether that statement's true or not, because he told me that when I was 18 years old, I have believed it ever since. So I do see the need for jiu-jitsu. I see the need for making sure that you understand some of these things. And I've got a purple belt in it, and I'm taking on a black belt in it, but I still outweigh him. I'm still 217 pounds. He's still 170 pounds. I'm having a hard time getting over that one. There's a rule in my sport of wrestling why we weigh guys in. Because if you had a guy that weighed 217, he could be significantly worse, and he's still going to beat the guy that weighs 170. She's going to be a little stronger. Be a little harder to move out of position. Be a little harder to score on. They tell me that in jiu-jitsu, that doesn't matter. That any size guy can win. But I'm at a jiu-jitsu tournament right now called Abu Dhabi, and they're weighing these son of a bitches in. So apparently that's a falsism too. So what level of intimidation they're trying to put on the young man from Westland, Oregon is still a little bit over my head. I'll go back to Mark Schultz. Mark Schultz is a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and nobody can test that. Do you guys want to know where he got his black belt? And he trained under Pedro Sauer, and he trained under Walt Bayless. So I imagine you're thinking, if any of you are experts in Mark Schultz stories, that he got it from Pedro Sauer or he got it from Walt Bayless. No. He got it from a place that used to be open, a brand store called Mervyn's. He was in jiu-jitsu gym so long, he was whipping everybody in there and couldn't get moved up. He went and bought his own belt. He's called himself a black belt ever since. Nobody has ever contested it. So yeah, I guess I'm a purple belt. That's the belt I got, and I guess this guy's a black belt. But I'm still 217 pounds, and he's still not. I still fought 14 men in the top 10 and beat 12 of them. I still fought for 5 world championships and won 2. He's still a 5.5-1 to underdog. I'm still going to win this match. Guys, before I go have my cabbage rolls, are you hiring? And if so, do you know where to post to find the best candidates? Because I'll tell you, Jacob, my man back in Portland, you guys are getting used to his voice. Found him on ZipRecruiter, and I've never looked back. And the one thing about ZipRecruiter, and I really want to make this point, to all employers out there, with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus sites with just one click. And then with the powerful technology, ZipRecruiter is going to match the right people to your job. They're going to do it better than anybody else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. That's the reason. It's that simple. Unlike the other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the candidates finding you. It finds them. No more juggling the emails, calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place. ZipRecruiter. Very easy to use. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter find a quality candidate within 24 hours. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates like my own Jacob Latray. And I'll tell you right now, my listeners can post jobs at ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. One more time. Try it for free. No strings, guys. When I say free, it's free. You guys don't ever go there and then go, oh, Chael, you didn't tell me about this. No. When I say it's free, I've already vetted it. Free means free with me. Go there right now. ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. Old Chael, still 217 pounds. Chael's opponent, still not. Spoiler alert, Chael still wins. Until next week, I am Chael, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Want to know why Attack Each Day was on top of the iTunes charts in its first week?
What the hell's going on around here?
I ripped my headphones off, spun around, and flinged them. I turn around, and my dad is like 3 inches from my face. And he says, go get him.
Gentlemen, we're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Brought to you by Podcast One Sports. Hear Jim Harbaugh, Jack Harbaugh, and JT Rogan share their stories every Tuesday on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, and podcastone.com.